The church that Al Munger, who pastored this church for 32 years, some years ago, attends, is called Friendship Church. And they have a gentleman there who directs their missions program. And this church, filled with people that I refer to as platform builders, that is, people who have given so much to build the platform that we stand on today, are so committed to reaching the world, beginning with their local community, the region of the world. They've showed me the chart of their missions giving, and it was, here's what we do locally, here's what we do regionally, here's what we do in the world. This church, of these who have sacrificed so much, last year gave $1,000 a day, $365,000 last year to reach the world for Jesus. And I just think that's incredible because, man, you know, these are people who are living the mission, and they haven't stopped. Just because they're in a different phase in life, they're still living that Jesus-centered mission that we talk about, and that is to reach out and to reach the world for Jesus. And that's what we're talking about in this series called Born for Battle, that Jesus calls every one of us, every Jesus follower, calls us individually, and he calls us collectively as a faith community to engage in this battle to see people won for Jesus and to push back against all that the enemy is doing. You know, and I don't need to tell you, that the enemy is out there, and he's out there to destroy. That's what the Bible says. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he can destroy. That's what he's doing. And we pray for and we live from a position of victory, don't we? Because who God is, that's where we pray from. That's where we live from. We are called to push back against anything and everything that the enemy's doing. You know that whenever the church rises up and begins to move to build his kingdom, the enemy doesn't like that. He's going to do everything he can to disrupt that. He's going to disrupt it in your life, in my life, in this faith community, in other faith communities. He can do everything he can to stop that. And so we're right about the middle of a series called Born for Battle, and that Jesus calls us to be a part of what he's doing in the world today, and we're talking about prayer. Prayer. Now, let me ask you a question. If I were in your prayer room this past week, or maybe a fly in the wall, that type of a thing, your prayer closet, your prayer room, for some of you, it's your prayer car because you pray, you know, during your commute to work, or you pray on your walk, on your run, wherever it is that you pray, what would I have heard?
Thank you,
Lord. If you were in my prayer closet, the place where I pray, the place that I get away, what would you have heard? Think about that for just a moment. This is a guy I follow. He's a blogger, John Acuff, and he asked a question that I have just kind of been thought over and over and over and over. It's getting ready for today, and it was this. Why are we so addicted to easy, comfortable prayers? And I began to think about that. Why are we so addicted to easy, comfortable prayers? And then he likened our prayers, two kinds of prayers. One, to errand prayers. I'll tell you what that is in just a moment. And the other one as adventure prayers. So here's what an errand prayer looks like. It knows exactly where we're going, exactly a task, and has everything mapped out. So when Jen sends me on an errand to go get milk, it's like, go to such and such store, get a gallon of milk, come home. Now I do that mostly. You know, but that's an errand prayer. It's go do this one thing and then come home. An adventure type prayer would be like go find some milk somewhere. And then you just kind of head out and you go wherever. Let me illustrate it in another way. Vacation or getting away, right? So some of us, we map every little spot, don't we? We're going to leave at 8 o'clock in the morning. If we're not in the car ready to go at 8 o'clock, the whole vacation is ruined, you know. So anyway, we start at 8 o'clock, and then by 4 o'clock that night, we're going to be at this destination, staying at the 5-star Motel 6 or whatever, and then it's this destination, and then when we get here, we finally arrive on time, and that's an errand. An adventure is, let's just go. Let's just jump in the car and go, and let's just kind of see what happens. And the point that he's making is sometimes we reduce our prayer life to easy, comfortable prayers. God, I just want to know where I'm going. I want to know what's ahead. And I got to have the answer out there. When Jesus calls us to an adventure, And that's what engaging the enemy looks like. It's stepping out in faith and saying, look, I don't know what's ahead here. I don't got it all figured out, but God, I'm in on the adventure, and use me to push back against anything that the enemy is doing in the world today so that your kingdom can expand. I don't need to know what's down there, but God, I just pray that you will use me. Interesting, I thought about that, and I thought about Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, and here's what the Bible says, that is by faith, Abraham left his home, right, trusting in God, having faith in God, and he left not knowing where he was going to go. How many of us would find that pretty uncomfortable? We're not going to raise our hand, are we? But I bet we would. I bet we would. But Jesus calls us into this life that says, we're going to engage the enemy and we're going to trust in him. How do I move from an errand to an adventure? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today for just a little bit. So you have your Bibles or your smartphone or your tablet. And here we say, look, bring those here because you can launch YouVersion Live and all the teaching notes and the scriptures are there. But Matthew chapter 6, so go there and then go to my favorite Old Testament passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We'll be there in just a little bit. Matthew chapter 6, just kind of hang on to that for just a moment. How do we move from really comfortable prayers, errand-type prayers, to an adventure? Well, it has everything to do with our big idea today, and it's this here, bending our will to God, understanding what God's will is, and the practice of bending our will to God. I mean, sometimes we approach life like, God, here's what I want you to do, and we're really asking him to bend to our will, but what we're talking about today is bending to his will, and we're going to see that in the prayer that Jesus teaches in just a few moments. Now, all of us have been in this position where we have prayed and we have felt like our prayers don't go any higher than what? The ceiling, right? Have you been there? Right? You've been there. I've been there. Full confession here. There are times when I've prayed publicly and then I go sit down and I think, well, that really sucked. What kind of prayer was that? You know? And then maybe like you, then God hears prayers. God hears prayers. But then I listened to my grandma pray, who is now with Jesus. And I talked to her about her just a couple weeks ago, and she's about like 3'5", something like that, or was. But man, when grandma prayed, it felt like she got a hold of heaven, and heaven came down. There's a guy that used to serve on our staff here. Some of you know him, Ed Parr. Ed had one of those prayer lives, right? And you just listen, and you find yourself going, that's what I want. That's how I want to pray. And you know what? It wasn't so much the words that Ed would use. It was kind of like when he prayed, it's like he just touched heaven. I remember one time being with Ed in his prayer time. And he says these two words, oh God. When Ed said, oh God, it's like, oh God, man, God is there. And maybe you've been in that place. You go, I want to learn. Well, just think of the disciples, because here they are. They asked this question of Jesus in Luke. They said, can you teach us how to pray like John's disciples? And undoubtedly, they had heard Jesus pray, and they had learned prayer. They learned prayer. Think about who taught you how to pray. Your mom, your dad, the person who led you to Jesus. I mean, they knew how to pray, but they're asking Jesus, would you just teach us how to pray? And that's Matthew chapter 6. So go there, Matthew chapter 6, also coming up on the screen here. And here's what I'm going to invite us to do, to read it. Now, many of us have memorized this prayer, haven't we? And we memorize it out of a different version. And as we read through it, you can repeat it in the version that you memorize it. That's just fine. But let's try and join together in Matthew chapter 6. Pray like this. Are you ready? Here we go. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we are forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. The prayer that Jesus teaches here is not a formula. It's a model or a pathway of how we should pray. And we're just going to look at two parts of the prayer. And I'm going to suggest to you that after these two parts, everything else falls into line. These two parts are absolutely the most important, and they're the ones that we need to understand we're going to focus on today as we talk about practicing allowing God's, allowing our will to bend towards God's. The first is our Father. Our Father in heaven. It's both horizontal and vertical. Just think about it for just a moment. Our Father is not my Father. He is my Father. He's our Father. It's horizontal. There's a twofold meaning, two positions. We're together in this battle. He is our Father. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, a Jesus follower, you're a part of the faith community. He's our Father. That's why it's so powerful when we come together in prayer. And the Bible says wherever two or three are gathered together, right? He's there. He's our Father. We join together praying to our Father. And the reason that we have this relationship is because what Jesus has done. So there are two positions here, horizontal and vertical. That is this, that we're connected and pray not apart from Jesus, but in Him and sealed by the Holy Spirit. It's because of what Jesus has done for you and for me, His sacrifice that has allowed us this relationship with the Father. It's both horizontal and it's vertical. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. Our Father. So when we're engaging the enemy, when we're involved in that battle that Jesus has called us in, it always begins with our Father. Now, there's a prayer acrostic that I've used for many years, and I've taught it to you, and if you're new to Gateway, maybe this is the first time you heard it, but it's ACTS, A-C-T-S, ACTS. And it begins this way, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I use that in my private prayer time. So you begin by adoring God, recognizing God for who He is, adoration, confession of sins in my life. God, I need You. Thanksgiving for what You've done. And then presenting my needs to Him, presenting our needs to Him. Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Here's the deal. It begins with God. It begins with our Father. That's the beginning point. And we're going to see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So turn there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat has a problem. Now, we won't relate exactly to the problem that he has, but we'll relate to life that comes at us pretty strong sometimes. It does, doesn't it? Jehoshaphat has a problem. He's got armies that are attacking him. 1 Chronicles chapter 1 through 2 describe that. But in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles chapter 3, here's what he does. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news, and he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all of the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. And then verse 6, here it is, where it starts. He prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, You alone are God. What's he doing? Recognizing our Father, recognizing who God is. You alone are God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against You. And then verse number 7, O our God, did You not drive out those who lived in this land when Your people Israel arrived? And did You not give this land forever to the descendants of Your friend Abraham? It begins with who God is. God, it's all about You. It's our Father. Engaging in the battle begins and understands something very, very important. And it's in verse number 15. This is what the Lord says of the same prayer. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is whose? It's not yours. It's the Lord's. As we engage in this battle, we understand it first begins with who God is. It recognizes who God is. You are God. You are Lord. This battle that we wage is not our battle. It's the Lord's battle. Here's what we sometimes do. We see the battle coming, or we see it out there, and we see it in society, and we see the roadblocks to advancing the gospel, don't we? And here's what we do. We begin to formulate really good plans. And man, we formulate a really good program too. And we formulate just the perfect way that we're going to do that. And I believe God uses all those things. But if it starts there, it fails. It begins first with who God is. It begins first with recognizing it's God, and it's God who brings the battle. Engaging in the battle first understands our position and our relationship with God. So is that part of your life, and is it part of my life? Is that where we begin today? And then he's invited us into this relationship where we call him Abba, Abba Father. It begins our Father, recognizing who he is. But then the next thing is really important, your kingdom. So I want to give you a word, one word, and it's this. It's all about focus. It's all about focus. It's your kingdom, God, not my kingdom. Now, how many have played that game called King of the Mountain? Yeah? King of the Mountain? What do you do? You set up that place, and well, whose kingdom? Whose mountain? It's mine. That's right. And just try to assault my kingdom. And what do? I mean, we fight and we do everything we can to keep my kingdom. This is not about my kingdom. It's all about his kingdom, your kingdom. It's all about focusing, keeping our focus while we're engaged in the battle. It's your kingdom, God. And sometimes what we want to do is we pray, God, these easy, comfy birds, God, we want you to come in and fix my kingdom. And thank God that he fixes things for us. Huh, diminish shadow. But God, here's my kingdom of finances. I just need you to fix this, and then I'll just kind of be on my way. God, here's my kingdom of the job and my relationships. And we kind of toss all that out there. We go, look, God, and it's all about our kingdom. And what Jesus is teaching is not, it's his kingdom. It's all about building his kingdom. It's all about engaging in the battle that he's called us to. Is not about convincing him to bend our way, but rather bending our way to his ways. Our Father, your kingdom. So let me just toss out this question. Do we really want God to bend our direction anyway? To our flawed way? No. And there's a TV show like years ago, some of you remember, like Our Father Knows Best. Yeah, how many remember that? Guess what? Our Father knows best. Our Father, your kingdom. Until we get to that place, there's really no point in going any further, I don't think, in our prayer. And I believe that's what Jesus was teaching. It begins with that solid foundation of recognizing who God is, and it's all about his kingdom. Some of you are builders, like you're really good at that stuff, and you're contractors and guys and gals and all of that, and that's just not an area that I'm like really, really strong in, but some of you really, really are. But Jesus, if you just go over a page or so from this prayer in Matthew chapter 6, you're going to find a little story that Jesus teaches about foundations. And he says this, if you want to build a faulty foundation, build it on sand. And if you do that, here's what's going to happen. When the rains fall or life comes our way and things change and the enemy comes in to kind of disrupt what we're doing in some way or another, guess what? If it's built on the sand, what happens? It collapses, right? But Jesus said, if you build it on the rock and that foundation is solid, it will stand firm. What Jesus is giving us here is that foundation that stands firm as we engage in the battle. Here's what prayer does right here. Prayer recalibrates my heart to follow the will of God our Father. It recalibrates our heart. Getting alone with Jesus, getting to that place where our focus is on him and he alone, recalibrates our heart and brings our focus right back to it's all about his kingdom. It's interesting to me if you go to Matthew chapter 6 again and you go to the prayer that Jesus was teaching us. And if you just go up just a few verses, and maybe your Bible says this in has this heading, effective prayer. He talks about getting alone. Talks about finding that place. He says, look, don't be like those who stand on a street corner and those who pray and they're hypocrites. And he says, I'll tell you the truth, that's the reward they ever get. But in verse number 6, he says this, but when you pray, go away by yourself and shut the door behind you and pray by yourself. Pray to your Father in heaven, in private. What's that mean? What's he talking about? He's talking about what builds our relationship with him. Is it a prayer closet? Is it a prayer car? It's all about getting alone with him, because when we get alone with him, then our relationship with him grows. That's what he's talking about. Jen and I have been married. We're like in our 41st year now being married. Here's what I've learned a few things over 40-some years of marriage. And it's this: our relationship doesn't get built in a group of people. Now, thankful for groups of people, and we love people. But our relationship doesn't get built during those times. It gets built when we're alone. If I told Jen, I says, look, let's just like focus on our marriage for a little bit, and let's go just hang out with a group of people. So I can, that's going to be okay. It's not going to be the time that we're going to grow together. It's going to be like, let's just get away alone and let's just focus on our marriage. And that's what Jesus is saying. Look, get alone with him. Because when you get alone with him, your relationship with him grows. And all of a sudden, we recalibrate our heart. And our Father, your kingdom becomes much more real to us. Listen here, here's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to create distance between the Father and where we live our life. He tries to create distance. I'd like for you to think about that for just a moment. Then I'm going to invite us to pray. The enemy tries to come into our life and create distance, to get us away from the Father. He tries to distract us. He tries to pull us away from the Father. He does that in a lot of different ways. Think about it. Sin comes into our life. It begins to take us away from the Father. It sometimes begins with an attitude. It sometimes begins with a little rebellion going on in our heart, in our life. And the enemy begins to create distance from the Father. Now, all of a sudden, we find ourselves over here in this place. It's no longer about the Father. It's all about us. It's all about our world. It's kind of interesting to me. You go to another teaching story of Jesus. And when I say it, you're going to go, oh yeah, I know that story. The prodigal son. And Jesus says, look, there's a son, there's a guy here who rebelled, who said, look, that's all of mine, just give it to me. But think about this. Here's what the Bible says. That he got all that stuff, and what did he do? He went to a distant place. He left the Father, and he went to a distant place. And some of us are finding ourselves in this distant place away from the Father. And the enemy has come in and created that division in our life. We're no longer engaged in the battle. What is it that we need to do to recalibrate, to come back to that place where it's our Father, where it's your kingdom and not mine living over there? I think one of the most powerful things about that story is the Father, of course. And I love this part of the story. And the Bible says, look, he saw his son from afar. You know what that tells me? Like he was just watching and just waiting. His son was afar, living his life in that distant place away from the Father. And he saw him from afar and he welcomed him home. Now I can just kind of visualize the Father every day going out and just waiting for the time that the son comes home from that distant place and he's welcomed right back. Recalibrating our heart so that we could engage in the battle that he's called us to at the level that he's called us to, is all about drawing close to the Father. It's our Father. It's your kingdom. What do you need to do today to allow Jesus to recalibrate your heart? Some of us might find ourselves over here. And we need to come back to James 4:7 says, look, draw close to him and he'll be close to us. And when we take that step, Jesus forgives us and welcomes us home. And it becomes about his kingdom. I had someone ask me after the 9:30 gathering. I loved the question. And it was this, does Jesus forgive me? Does Jesus forgive me? The answer is yes, yes, yes. As we turn towards him. And as we do, as we come back to him, and as we engage in a battle, listen, we do so from a place of victory. Let's stand together, shall we? Prayer recalibrates my heart to follow the will of God, our Father. Listen to this, R.C. Sproul wrote it. Prayer does change things, all kinds of things. But most important, the most important thing it changes is us. It's me, it's you. As we engage in this communion with God more deeply and come to know the one with whom we are speaking more intimately, that growing knowledge of God reveals to us all the more brilliantly who we are and our need to change in conformity to him. Prayer changes us profoundly. Where does Jesus need to recalibrate your heart? Has the enemy come in and distracted you in such a way that he's taking you out of the battle that we're talking about? Are you in that distant place? Is it time to come back to him? Father, I would pray that you'd speak to each of us today. Pray, Lord God, that you'd recalibrate my heart. Pray that you'd speak to each one of us today. God, I thank you for the knowledge that as we engage in the battle that you have called us into, we do so from a position of victory, not because of what we have done, but because what you have done. It doesn't start with me. It starts with you, your kingdom. So God, if we've been guilty of praying those errand prayers, those big, comfortable, comfy prayers, would you challenge us today as we recalibrate? Would you speak to our hearts today? If you're here today and you find yourself in that place I just described, that distant place away from him, things have come into your heart and into your life and they're distractions and maybe they're what we would call sin. Those things have come into your life today. We need to turn around and see the Father welcoming us home and saying, God, would you forgive us? Forgive us for allowing those things into my life, those things that have taken me away from your will for my life. And I thank you, Jesus, as we engage in building your kingdom, the story that you're writing in the hearts and lives everywhere. God, we'll see the enemy defeated. We'll see him defeated in our community, in our region. We'll see him defeated in our world. We'll see him defeated in our families, in our relationships, and in everything and everywhere that he's trying to disrupt us to keep our focus away from your kingdom. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand today? Look, God help us. God give us wisdom individually, as a church, as a community, to do those things that are building his kingdom. If we're not, let's stop doing them. Let's don't allow those things into our lives. Amen. Remember, as you go, we pray from, we live from a position of victory because of what Jesus has done. It's all about his kingdom. God bless you. If you're here, you need prayer, you're struggling with something, let us know. We'll be down front here or around. I hang out in the lobby afterwards. Let's connect. Let's pray. And we'll see you next week. If you want to get the book Born for Battle, there's a few left. You can see me afterwards and be sure to try and get it to you. God bless you. Have a great week.